plate a potential nugget.
Diving into your book, David, your book talks about a special type of relationship that you call exceptional. And you say there are six hallmarks to an exceptional relationship. Can you sort of talk to us about what you mean by exceptional and the six hallmarks?
Yes. First of all, let me say that relationships are on a continuum. We have some that are casual. We have some that are more, have deeper a connection to them. We have some that are quite strong. We have those that are intimate. And at the upper end, we have those that we call exceptional. We say all relationships, and certainly exceptional relationships, have these six characteristics. The first one is, to what extent can I be myself? Can I let you know, David, that is relevant to our relationship? I don't share everything with you, but what do we need in order to build a connection? And also, can I not have to present an image, present something that I'm not? Which I think is very relevant to certainly to teachers who do a lot of image projection, and to leaders as well, who often walk around saying, if I'm to be a leader, I have to present something other than I am. And so what we look at is, to what extent can I let you know, David, in a relevant way? The second thing is, since we're talking about relationship, can I do things that help you be better known as you are? And we all do things that shut down other people. And can we be aware of that and not do that? And can we encourage the other person's also personal self-disclosure? Now, letting yourself be known, each of us, also means that we become vulnerable. We share some things that the other might not approve of. So the third dimension is, can I trust that what I share won't be used against me? And that's, of course, relevant in organizations, because information gets passed around quickly in organizations. I don't want to share something that's going to hurt my career or hurt my effectiveness, but also it relates to this relationship. Am I going to say something where you'll judge me negatively and may even reject me? Fourth dimension is, can we be honest with each other? And honesty isn't sharing everything, but it's sharing what is most important for us to relate and to do work together. And can you have confidence that what I'm telling you is what I really mean and what's most important? And you don't have to read between the lines. Fifth, any relationship, and I've been married 55 years, any relationship has glitches to it, has problems, has disagreements, has even conflict. That's true to all relationships. And can we, in this relationship, raise those? Not only resolve them, but resolve them in a way that might deepen the relationship. And finally, we find that relationships have the quality of, are we committed to each other's growth and development? If I see you doing things that are hurting yourself, am I committed enough to you that I will take the risk of saying that? Now, these six dimensions are also on a continuum. And you don't have to be at the very top to be exceptional. But you have to be high up on all of them to start to approach those. And the nice thing is about these six is they can give you a clue as to which ones you may want to work on to deepen the present relationships you have.
And picking on one of the things that caught my attention as you said it, David, you talk about resolving conflict in a way that deepens the relationship. Can you say more about what it takes to be able to resolve conflicts in a healthy way, which strengthens the relationship?
Yes, a lot depends on how the issue is raised. So I want to go back to the whole thing of honesty. When I hear somebody say, well, I'm going to be brutally honest, I find they're usually more brutal than they are honest. And This gets into how we define feedback. We could get into if you'd like to. But we find that if you stick with behavioral feedback, and I raise issues because I see this not as you being a bad person, but as this getting in the way of our working together, being friends together, and it's a sign that something is a little wrong. So the image we use is, let's imagine you're driving to work, and I know driving in India can be quite challenging, having been there. But let's assume that the motor is sputtering a little bit, and the steering is a little loose, and the wheels seem to be thumping a bit. You don't say, bad car. You say, something's wrong. I better get it worked on. And we have to have the same sort of orientation when there's a conflict. When there's a conflict, it's not that you're wrong or bad or I am, but something's getting in the way. And can we sit down jointly and try to figure this out? So that leads us into problem solving, not into blame or accusation.
I love David's point when he says that when people say they're going to be brutally honest, they're often more brutal than honest. So true at so many levels. Of the six markers he speaks about, I want to underscore point number six, being committed to each other's growth and development. It's an interesting one, and there's something to be said about being too committed and too eager in the other person's growth and development, especially when it comes to spouses. This nuance came up in my conversation with Jennifer Petriglieri of INSEAD, who speaks about dual career couples and how the spouse can provide a secure base and help the husband or wife grow. But she goes on to say that if we are too eager and too pushy, it can be counterproductive.
So the couples who do very well, I found, are those who flick their model of support from that to a model of support called a secure base. Now, a secure base means three things. First, it means, of course, there is that level of comfort, that level of support. But layered on top of that are another two things. One is a, if I can think of it as a loving kick away from the relationship. So a loving push away to say, you know, I'll be here to dust you off, but you get out there and figure it out. So if you're unsure, if you're having these existential questions, the response is, don't worry, we'll be fine. It's okay, get out there then and figure something out. So it's this push to explore, a push away from the safety of the relationship, away from the comfort zone, and into that learning zone, that risk zone. Now, this is a bit counterintuitive because in a relationship, when our partner's feeling a little bit uncertain and a little bit wobbly, our natural instinct, just like that with our children, is to hold them close, is to give them a cuddle, you know, metaphorically and really. And this is quite the opposite. When we see our partner struggling with something, feeling a little unsure, instead of pulling them close, we actually push them away in a loving way. And so it's quite a different model of support. But the third thing about a secure base is it's also a very arm's length support. So it's not about interfering. It's not about, did you call that headhunter and did you read that book and did you go to that networking event? That's really unhelpful. So it's a real arm's length push away. And what I found in couples was when they could both do this for each other, when they could both provide the secure base, that's when the magic happened. Because what happened was both partners could then go out and do the work of experimentation, exploration, and reflection that all of us need to do to get through a transition. And both felt very supported in that, and both could get to the other side. And I think, you know, when we first started talking about the second transition, I said this could be a time of incredible growth for people in their careers and relationship. And this growth really stems from this secure-based support at the root of our relationships.
Back to David's sixth point. I feel it's critical to commit to each other's development, but I feel it's as important to do it in a constructive way. Thank you for listening.